Welcome to this edition of the Cross Encounters podcast. I am your host, Tony Miano. For more information about Cross Encounters Ministries, you can go to crossencountersmin.com. That's our website, crossencountersmin.com. I would love to hear from you. Love to hear your thoughts about what we talk about here on the podcast. Also would love suggestions for blog articles or videos. Email us at info@crossencountersmin.com. Again, that is info@crossencountersmin.com. On this podcast, I want to talk about the helpless God of free will religion. The helpless God of free will religion. Now, I know that phrase, that title is going to be controversial. It is provocative, but it is given not without cause. I'm going to read to you a portion of an article from the Los Angeles Daily News, and it is in the Sunday, December 13th edition, the weekend edition, and it is an article written by Lisette Marquez, L-I-S-E-T, Marquez, common spelling, and the title of the article is Damien Maynes Remembered at Funeral. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing Damien's last name correctly. It is spelled M-E-I-N-S. Now, Damien tragically lost his life during the terrorist attack early in December by two Islamic terrorists, and so I want to begin reading the article. I'm going to read verbatim for just a little while, so bear with me. But towards the end of my reading, you will see why we're going to talk about the helpless God of free will religion. Standing at the altar and behind a podium, Damien Maynes' daughters, Tina and Tanya, softly spoke about their father, a man who was quick to forgive and believed in leaving judgment between man and God. Quote, "We ask as a family that people fight hatred with love and that they seek to perform small acts of kindness for others. Damien always did," Tanya Maynes said, continuing, "Please always choose love, compassion, and kindness." End quote. Damien Maynes was among 14 killed in the December 2nd mass shooting at the Inland Regional Center in San Bernardino. The 58-year-old Riverside resident was remembered by his wife and two daughters during his funeral mass Friday morning at St. Catherine of Alexandria. Tina Maynes said her father believed in leaving judgment between man and God, reading an excerpt from Romans, quote, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's will," end quote. Reverend Art Mateo told parishioners who were clad in a sea of black and white clothing, "This was one of the most difficult homilies he's had to deliver in his 40 years as a priest." As he walked past the casket that was at the base of the altar and draped in a white cloth, Mateo said he agonized as he tried to make sense of the tragedy and find the right words to console family and friends without using platitudes or cliches. Quote, "Where can you find God in this kind of death?" end quote, he asked. During a passionate homily in which Mateo raised his voice numerous times, he said Damien Maynes' death and that of 13 other people was not God's will. If that were the case, then it would have been God's will that 130 people were killed in the Paris attacks or 7,000 people killed in the typhoon in the Philippines, he added. Quote, "I don't believe in a God that kills people," end quote, Mateo said. Mateo said there is a God that believes, quote, "We be given the gift of free will," end quote. Quote, "Many people, unfortunately, have used this gift unwisely and violently," he said. Continuing, quote, "God is almost helpless when a person misuses his freedom," end quote. I'm going to read that last blasphemous sentence again. Quote, "God is almost helpless when a person misuses his freedom." Now, Mr. Matteo, obviously a Roman Catholic priest, and as such, one who adheres to Roman Catholic doctrine, is not a Christian. We could say that. I could say that, certainly. I could say that without passing unbiblical judgment on Mr. Matteo. But you cannot be a born-again follower of Jesus Christ and adhere to the blasphemous religious practices of Roman Catholicism or the theology of Roman Catholicism or the false gospel of Roman Catholicism. So this was an unregenerate man presiding over a unbiblical and blasphemous practice known as a mass as part of a funeral service for a man who was tragically gunned down by two Muslims who were living consistent with their unholy and demonic book known as the Quran. There's so much that I could talk about in this article, but again, I wanted to focus primarily on the helpless God of free will religion. Now, as Matteo is quoted as saying in the article, he doesn't believe in a God who kills people. Well, it's quite obvious then that Mr. Matteo has never read the Bible, or if he has, he certainly doesn't believe it. God has killed people. God has killed millions, if not billions, of people throughout history. Matteo's God that he has created in his imagination is not a holy God, not a just God, not a righteous God. He does not believe in a God who is wrathful, who is just, who is holy, and who will punish sin. God is good. Therefore, God punishes sinners. Sometimes he punishes them during their physical life, but God will punish all unrepentant, unredeemed, unreconciled, unsaved, unborn again human beings when they stand before him in judgment. And everyone and anyone who is not born again, who has not been adopted by God into his beloved family through faith in Jesus Christ, will face eternity in hell as the just punishment for their sins. Even a cursory reading of the Word of God makes everything that I just said obvious and true. I'm not asserting my opinions of who I believe God is. I'm asserting what God actually says about himself in his Word. The Roman Catholic religion believes in a helpless God, a God who is helpless to save anybody unless they do good works, unless they ascribe to the Roman Catholic religion. But Roman Catholics are not the only ones who ascribe to free will religion. And while they would never say that God is helpless, and if I were to ask them, do you believe God is helpless? They would vehemently and maybe even angrily say, well, of course not. I'm a Christian. But yet there are many Christians in the world today who, like Roman Catholics, subscribe to the belief that God is helpless, that God is helpless to save on his own, that God is helpless to take an unregenerate sinner, to take a heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. He is helpless to do that on his own. And the professing Christians that I am describing are also known as synergists. Synergists. This idea that salvation is a cooperative effort between God and man. That, yes, Jesus Christ died on the cross to save sinners. Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a perfect, sinless life that none of us could possibly live, died a death he did not deserve on that Roman cross, and forever defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave. The synergist believes this. The synergist believes that salvation is by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. So they will ardently attest. But the synergist, like the Roman Catholic, ultimately believes that God is helpless to save, that God is helpless to save on his own, because the synergist does not believe that salvation is of the Lord and of the Lord alone. The synergist believes that God needs our help. The synergist believes that the unbeliever is like a drowning person who simply needs Jesus, the lifesaver, to be thrown to them, and so that they can grab on to that lifesaver, that life preserver, and be drugged to safety. That's what the synergist believes. See, the synergist, even though if they say that they believe man is dead in his sin, ultimately they don't believe that, because they believe that they have the ability, they have the sovereignty, based on what they believe about their own free will, to either swim away from the life preserver or grab onto it. That they have enough life in them, that they have enough reason in them, that they have enough free will in them to make the decision as to whether or not they will drown or be saved. A more biblical presentation of that life preserver analogy would be something like this. The unregenerate, unrepentant sinner is lying face down, floating in the ocean, already dead. A life preserver is not thrown to them because they don't have the ability to grab the life preserver. Someone has to jump into the water, drag them to the boat, start to pump the water out of their lungs, perform CPR, and bring that person to life. That's a biblical view of salvation. Ephesians 2:1-3 makes it very clear that all people prior to regeneration, prior to being caused to be born again by the miraculous work of God through faith in his Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit, is dead in their trespasses and sins. Now, an exhaustive study of this word translated as dead in English translations of the Bible, an exhaustive study of this Greek word translated as dead, will reveal this. Are you ready? The word means dead. That's what it actually means. Every human being, apart from the saving work of Almighty God, is spiritually dead. Their nature is a sinful nature. And while they certainly make decisions, they're not robots, as the Arminian will quickly emotionally describe the sovereign God of the Bible as, if you dare to touch upon their belief, their commitment to their own free will. He is not a cosmic puppeteer. He is, and we are not robots. Oh, we exercise will all the time. We exercise decision-making all the time. But our decision-making, if we are not in Christ, is limited to our sinful nature. We cannot do anything that commends us to God. We cannot do anything that pleases God in our sinful state, nor do we have any desire to, because of our sinful nature. Just like a dog will not climb a tree, build a nest, lay an egg, and give birth to sparrows, a human being cannot act outside of his nature until his nature is changed. And that is a sovereign, gracious, miraculous work of God alone. God is not helpless. God is not helpless. Our idea of free will, the synergists, the Arminians, the Roman Catholics' idea of free will, is not kryptonite to Almighty God. God will save whom he will save for his own glory. Then the question is asked, well, then does God cause people to come to him kicking and screaming? Well, then that's not love. I'm not loving God if I'm drugged to him kicking and screaming. There's not a single human being who has ever been born again who has come to the Lord kicking and screaming. Why? Because he changes their nature. He takes their heart of stone and he gives them a heart of flesh. And because of that, they are now able to love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. They now have a desire to pursue Christ. They have a desire to repent and believe the gospel. They want to do that. And they are able to do that because their nature has been changed by God. They once were dead, and now they are made alive. Repentance and faith, my friends, are not works leading to salvation. Repentance and faith are the first fruits of a heart that's been changed, regenerated, caused to be born again by Almighty God. No, God is not helpless. God is sovereign over all things. God not only was sovereign over the massacre in San Bernardino, he was present. God was not only sovereign over the massacre in Paris, he was present. God was not only sovereign over the 3,000 killed in 9/11, during 9/11 attacks, he was present. And you can list every natural disaster known to man. God was present. Sovereign. Now, unlike some false teachers like Pat Robertson and others who claim to know the mind of the Lord and offer him counsel, who claim to know exactly why these disasters happen, why God allows these things to happen, I don't presume to have such knowledge. Romans 11 ends with, who has known the mind of the Lord and who has offered him counsel? Who is first given to God that God should owe him anything? Bible also declares that his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I don't presume to know the mind of the Lord to the extent that I can tell you why he allows these things to happen. But what I can tell you is what the Word of God declares, and that he is sovereign, he is good, and he is glorious, and he alone is King of kings and Lord of lords. He answers to no one. He does not rule by committee, and what you think may be your free will is not kryptonite against him. You are not sovereign. God is. And if you find yourself believing in a God that you've created in your imagination, a God who must submit to your free will, then I would urge you to repent of your idolatry. I would urge you to repent of your blasphemy, because again, you have created a God in your imagination to suit yourself. Turn from this egregious sin of thinking that you are sovereign and that your free will rules the day. Humble yourself, for God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself to the sovereignty of God and believe by faith the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent his Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, and without sin. He was born of a virgin, just as the prophet Isaiah declared, more than 700 years before his birth. He lived a perfect life in thought, word, and deed, from cradle to grave. He was perfectly righteous. He lived a life for some 33 years that you and I cannot live for 33 seconds. And then he voluntarily went to the cross. He suffered and died a horrific, bloody death he did not deserve, to take upon himself the punishment you and I rightly deserve for our sins against God. And then 3 days later, Jesus Christ forever defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave. He is alive today, and he will return at a time of the Father's choosing. And what God commands of you this day is that you repent, that you turn from your sin, and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And if God does that miraculous work in you, if he literally causes you to be born again, you will not come to Christ kicking and screaming and fighting for your free will, because God will have changed your nature, and you will come to him as every other human being whom God has saved has come to him with a love for God, a love for Christ, a love for the Word of God, a love for his church, his people, and a desire to see others come to know him as well. So again, this God, this idea of a God who is helpless in certain circumstances, is a blasphemous caricature of the one true God. God is holy, God is righteous, God is just, God is good, God is sovereign, God alone is king, God alone freely exercises his will. You do not. So turn to Christ and live. Turn to Christ and live. All right, thank you for joining me for this edition of the Cross Encounters podcast, and I hope this has been encouraging to you. Share it with your friends if you like, and until next time, be encouraged, strengthened, and unafraid. Proclaim the gospel.